Okay, so welcome to Basra B'Chalav. So you just started the Perek HaLabasra, the first Mishnah in Perek HaLabasra. So let's go back to some of the very, very basics over here that the Shulchan Aruch starts with, and that really any discussion of Basra B'Chalav has to start with, and that is that the Torah says three different times, Lo Sivash Al Gedi B'Chalev Imo, that you're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. And the Gemara Darshans that we learn from there, three different restrictions, right? The Gemara Chulin Kuf Tez Vav Amid Beis, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Lo Sivash Al Gedi B'Chalev Imo, three times, Echad Isra Achila, Echad Isra Na, Echad Isra Bishul. Right, one to tell me that it's asr ba'achila, you're not allowed to eat basr b'chalav. One to tell me that you're not allowed to get hana'a from basr b'chalav. And one time to tell me that it's asr to cook basr b'chalav. Obviously, cooking basr b'chalav is the only one that it actually says in the Torah itself. But since it says it three times, we learn from all those. We learn all of those isurim. It's fascinating, therefore, that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in mitzvah Kuf Pei Vav and Kuf Pei Zayin, the Rambam counts two mitzvos of Lo Sivash Al Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Now you would think you have two out. If you're a Mona HaMitzvah, you know, you're one of those Rishonim that are into counting mitzvos, you would think you have two options of how to go over here. You can either count one mitzvah, and that one mitzvah includes Achila, Bishul, Hana'a, or you can count three mitzvos. The Rambam counts two mitzvos. So that right away is very curious, right? That the Rambam counts. So which one does he leave out, right? Which one doesn't he count? So the Rambam says the Yisra of cooking, the Yisra of eating. He does not mention the Yisra Hana'a of Basa B'Chalav. But the Rambam explains himself, and he says that the Yisra Hana'a and the Yisra of eating are very much connected to each other. Meaning, when we talk about getting Hana'a, the ultimate form of Hana'a when it comes to food, meaning there are many ways that one can get pleasure from food, right? One can smell the food and it could smell really good, and that's Hana'a also. I have a friend who grew up in Philadelphia, told me he remembered going to a Philadelphia Eagles game in the old Veterans Stadium. I think that's what it was called, Veterans Stadium. And it was like 20 degrees below zero in like December, and their gloves weren't doing enough to keep their fingers warm. So they bought hot apple cider that they were selling at the stadium. It was treif, hot apple cider, to stick their hands in the hot apple cider for warmth. Okay, that's another way to get hana'a from food. A person can get hana'a from food in many different ways. So, but the ultimate way to get hana'a from food, the best way to get hana'a from food, the one that is most pleasurable of all the pleasures one gets from food, is when you eat the food. So eating is like a super hana'a. So it's not that eating and hana'a are two separate things. I mean, they are separate in the sense that hana'a is independent of achila. If you get a hana'a by selling basar b'chalav, there are other ways to get hana'a from basar b'chalav. That's also asr, but it doesn't have to be listed as a separate avera, says the Rambam, because they are very much connected to each other. In that achila is an elevated level of hana'a, this is based on the Gemara in Chulin here in Perek HaLabasra and Kuf Yudalad and Beis. The Gemara tells us, and really it's a sugi in the side. Anyone in Pesachim this year? Any yeshivas in Pesachim? Yeah? Shalvin in Pesachim? Oh, okay. All you guys, Shalvin guys, only one guy remembers. I know it was a rough Kayetzman, but like, so in the second Perek of Pesachim, second Perek? No, right? Only the first part. Yeah, so the Gemara in Chulin. Well, I guess we don't need to be Mimarcha Tavi Lachma. We can bring it from right here. The Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Yudal and Beis. Kol makom shnemer lo yochal lo sochal lo sochlu, echad isra achila vechad isra na b'mashma. Whenever the Torah says, lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu, lo yeochal, anything like that, it always means both an isra achila and an isra na'a. But wait, the Torah just said, lo yochal, lo socha, lo sochlu. Where do you see an isra na'a in the words, lo yochal, lo socha, lo sochlu? And any time it says any of those words, the Gemara says the klal is, it means both isra achila and isra na'a. So says the Rambam, you see that achila and ana'a are very, very strongly connected with each other. In fact, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Gimel explains, Ki haTorah totzi kol hanaos derech klal milashon achila. We derive all hanaos from the word achila. When the Torah wants to express that something's asr b'hanah, it uses the word achila. Why? Lefi shehi hanaat midas laadam v'tzarech elaha. Because the only hana'a that is a constant in your life, and that needs to be a constant in your life if you want to continue to have life, is achila. You can't live without achila. So it is the most constant and necessary hana'a. So that's why the Rambam associates the achila and the hana'a with each other. So bishul is one thing, achila and hana'a are 2A to B, right? You know, it's not they're not completely independent of each other. And that's why you know, whenever there's nisra in the Torah that has both an isra achila and an isra hana'a, the Rambam always counts them as one mitzvah, as one mitzvah shlos asay. Where do we have something that says by isra of kilei akerem? You know, I'll have to plant grapes right next to wheat. That's an Isra of Kilei Akerem. It's also Bachila, it's also Bana. The Isra of Orla. What's the Isra of Orla? Oh, okay, good, okay. There, by the way, there's all Masecht on it, so it's good. It's good to know what the word means, right? And Pasuk in the Torah. So, the tree in the first 3 years after you plant the tree, the peros that it produces, which is usually not much, but the peros that it produces in the first 3 years, it usually takes the tree some time to grow till it actually, you know, produces peros. But in the first 3 years, the peros that it produces are asr bahana'a, so they're not only asr bahachila, they're asr bahana'a as well. That's the it was going around on Twitter a while back. Someone took a picture of an Israeli wine bottle. And they had, you know how they translate things in a funny way sometimes in Israel, because they're obviously just using Google Translate. So it said on the bottle, Leloch Shash Tevel, or Tevel O'Arla, or something like that. And it said in the English translation, without any concern of untithed produce or foreskins. Because Arla also means foreskins. So Mistama, that's also true, right? but probably what they meant is that those grapes were not from the first 3 years since the tree was planted. So when it comes to those Yisurim also, it's both an Isra Achila and an Isra Hana'a, and it's only mentioned, the Rambam only counts it as one Isra, because again, this deep connection between Achila and Hana'a. Then the Rambam asks on himself, why does the Torah have to say it three times to include Isra Achila and Isra Hana'a if Achila and Hana'a are always connected? Meaning, doesn't that fly in the face of everything we're saying right now? Meaning, the whole drush over here is it's three times those fashions because I need one time for Bishul, one time for Achila, one time for Hana'a. But if every other time the Torah wants to ask for something with Achila and Hana'a, it just says Lo Yocha, Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu, and it automatically includes Achila and Hana'a. So how come over here it needs to say it twice to include Achila and Hana'a? So the Rambam explains that, and this is all in Sefer HaMitzvos, where he actually explains himself. The Rambam explains that unlike other Isurei Hana'a, where you're only chayav for eating if you're actually nehneh from the eating, Basar B'cholov is unique. Basar B'cholov, there's an Isra Achila even if there's no Hana'a in the Achila. How could you have an Isra Achila without a Hana'a in the Achila? What's an example of that?
You don't like the food.
Right? Or and you're full, right? Meaning, because if it's nourishing, that would be a hana'a also. Right? So it's an achila gasa, and you don't like it. It makes you want to vomit, the fact that you have to eat it. Why are you eating it? Because, in camp here, they have night activities on that fear factor, right? So you're eating it because it's a competition of some sort. So you have to. So if it's basar b'chalav, but you're getting no hana'a from it whatsoever, it's still going to be an isra achila, as opposed to the other isurim in the Torah that are both achila and hana'a, they're, you only need one pasuk, because the achila is only asr b'derech hana'a. And if it's not b'derech hana'a, so you're not going to be us.
Is the grouping of Achila and Hana'a, like the Rambam's like doing it after that, just as like a categorical thing, or he's saying they're the same mystery, like they're the same thing?
Wait, I'm not sure if I understand the two stadim of your question.
Is Achila and Hana'a, the Rambam's grouping them together because they're like the same mystery, like Achila is just a type of Hana'a, or it's like, or he's just like after the fact saying, oh, these go together?
L'may nafkamina?
Meaning, like, why do you... Right. Here, I'm just... I want to understand.
Right, someone, Rav Mendel Blachman from Kerem Yavne used to say, when you'd ask him, L'may Nafkamina, he'd say, Nafkamina is whether you know how to learn or you don't know how to learn. Who's Rav Blachman? Sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure. I mean, I assume based on the Gemara, the word Achila in the Torah means, because Achila is a super hana, so it's like a heading of a category.
So it is part of
the Batsem, yeah, I think so.
Seems like in the answer, the Rambam is almost contradicting himself, that the third Yochal is to teach us.
Yeah, he's hedging a little bit.
But it's to teach us that it's hana, but it's not hana.
Right, it's right. It's included in hana, not totally. Right.
It's there to teach us that.
Yeah, I hear that. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes, you should look up all these Rambams if you can get a hold of a Rambam. The Rambam writes that even though the Torah never says that it's Asur to eat Basar B'Chalav, it has to be Asur because the Torah Asur is Bishul Basar B'Chalav. So it has to include eating also. What does that mean? It says the Rambam. I'll read you the Lashon. Lo shasak hakasuv mile esar ha'achila, ella mipnei sha'asra bishul. The reason the Torah was quiet about saying anything about an isar achila is because it already asr bishul. Kolomar. Va'afilu bishulo asr. Vein sar kolomar achilasa. If even bishul is asr, then of course achila is going to be asr. Now he's not saying that it's a kal v'chomer, in the sense that, because if it were a kal v'chomer, you wouldn't need a separate pasuk. You have a separate pasuk over here. But he's saying the reason the Torah never bothered using the word achila, and he used the word bishul, is because the Torah assumed that when you see the word bishul, you're going to know that it could also mean achila. Because bishul is beyond achila. So if bishul's asr, so achila is even less than that. So the Rambam writes, similar to, Kimo Shashasak Milasra Bas Me'acha Sha'asar Bas Habas. Similar to how the Torah never asers Bito when the Parsha of Arayos, one's own daughter, because it asers Bas Bito. So if a granddaughter's aser, obviously a daughter's aser. Is that similar? Not exactly. No, because in that case, it doesn't say it twice. Right? It says, right, I don't think so. Does it say it twice? Bas Bito twice? One for Bito, one for Bas Bito? I don't know.
What would be the detriment of using the actual word?
Right, what does the Torah have to lose? Yeah, a good question also. Shver Ramban. The Kesef Mishnah discusses, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchos Tumas Meis, he talks about Ein Onshin Min Adin in this context, whether, maybe the Torah Dafka has to say, meaning maybe the Ramban is really saying it is a Kal V'Chomer. It is a Kal V'Chomer. But you can't punish someone based on the Kal V'Chomer. There's a rule, Einon Shin Min Adin. So that's why the Torah has to spell it out again. It doesn't answer your question of why couldn't the Torah just use the word Achila, but it would answer why, even if it could have been derived from a Kal V'Chomer, just by saying Lo Savashel, we still need a pasuk to tell me the Isra Achila, because you can't give a person a punishment based on the Kal V'Chomer. That's a question in Rishonim, in Yisach HaSukkah. Can you give a person a punishment based on the other Midah Shatar in Dresh's Ben? No, that for sure you can, just not a Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is unique in that Kal V'Chomer is entirely logical. Right, the other Midah Shatar and Dresh Ben rely on some level of Mesorah and not just pure logic. If a person has a purely logical mind, you can find a Kal V'Chomer now that maybe no one else ever thought of, and you can come up with a new Din D'Oraisa now. You could actually be Mechadesh a Din D'Oraisa. That's the power the Torah gave us by using a logical mind. That's the power of a Kal V'Chomer. I mean, your chances of discovering a new Kal V'Chomer that, like, Rabbi Kiva Eger missed, and all the Tanaim and Amoraim. But still, it theoretically, in theory, it could happen.
I'm not sure how the Rambam understands Achila from Bishul, because we can technically say that cooking meat and milk together is not okay, but having them on the same plate, it's a different process. You're not cooking them; they're just having them on the same plate, eating them together. It's not a process of cooking.
There is no Issa D'Oraisa of eating, of having a plate with meat and milk on it. The Issa D'Oraisa is only when they were cooked together.
No, that's exactly my point. I'm saying you could doesn't. I don't understand how he learns that Afila from the Bishul.
Because what do you cook for?
They're coming together, but Afila, like, you're just eating one, the other. It doesn't seem to be the same thing as
that. Well, you're eating that which was cooked together.
It's not but just.
It's only Derek Bishul as Torah. It's only if you eat things that were actually cooked together. We'll get to there. We'll get to that. But yeah. So, but today, primarily, what we want to do is define the term meat. So let's we'll define cooking a different time. I mean, maybe we'll define meat, then we'll define milk, then we'll define cooking. So we'll go in that order. So let's start with basar of cooking chicken and milk. So this is a machlokas tanai medaf kuf yudgim lamed aleph, but not really machlokas tanai. Basar of is not really the machlokas tanai, right? Meaning that both tanai agree that basar of, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosei Glili agree that basar of is what? Mutar rasur min haTorah. Mutar min haTorah, right? They both say it's mutar min haTorah, and presumably only asur midrabanan. The logic is that it says gidi three times. It doesn't just say lo sevashal basar. So it must be dumya de gidi, right? It has to be similar to a gidi. Whatever type of meat you're going to say is included in the Yisra basar b'chalav has to be something that's like a gidi. So, like, I don't know, a sheep is like a goat. A cow, I guess, is kind of like a goat, but a chicken is not like a goat at all. And a chaya, a deer, and a behemoth tamea are not like, you know, a pig or whatever, are not like a goat at all. They're very different than a goat. That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, the default is kol she'asur mishum nevela, asur mishum basar b'chalav. Right, that anything that's asur mishum nevela is going to be asur to be mevashal b'chalav. So chaya, that's the default. The default is any animal that needs shechita is included in basar b'chalav. What animals need shechita? Everything except fish, right? Fish don't need shechita. But anything that, so chickens and, you know, right, whether it's birds or whether it's chayos, a deer needs shechita, all these things, a giraffe, anything, whether it's a chaya or a behema or an oaf, they all need shechita, right? Big misconception that you can't shech the giraffe because you don't know where the makom shechita is on its neck. You've got about 6 feet of makom shechita. If you can't find it, then you need a new job. You shouldn't be a shochet. The problem with shechting a giraffe is that a giraffe can kill a lion by going like that, so you don't want to mess with a giraffe. That's the problem with shechting a giraffe. It's very, very hard to contain. And they cost $20,000, and they're illegal to buy in many states. Don't ask me why I researched this. So where was I? Yeah, so Rabbi Yosef says the default position is that only things that are included in Nevela, only things that are included in that all the things that are included in the Isser Nevela are also, should be included in the Isser Basar B'chalav. And therefore, Chaya is Asur Mishum Basar B'chalav. Why is chicken okay then? Why is chicken not included in the Isser Basar B'chalav? So comes Rabbi Yosef Glili, he says, there's another word in the Pasuk that excludes chicken. B'chalev imo. In its mother's milk, it's got to be a mammal. It has to have mother's milk. But an oaf doesn't have mother's milk. You never see a chicken nursing from its mommy chicken. It doesn't happen, right? So only that which has chalev imo, as opposed to that which doesn't have it. So it's an exception to the rule. Chicken is an exception to the rule. The rule should have been the rule should have been that everything's included. Everything that that's included in the veil, but there's an exception to the rule. Then the Gemara in Daf Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph, in explaining what the machlokas from Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is, we'll come back to the beginning of that Gemara later, the one that many of you had trouble with, those first couple of lines. But the Gemara after those, that next two dots, the Gemara in Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph, in explaining what the machlokas from Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili is, explains that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's at least asr on a derabbanan level, right? Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds it's heter gomer to eat basar of, meaning that they're arguing about chicken. They're just agreeing that it's mutar min haTorah, but they're arguing, is there an issur derabbanan on chicken and milk? Rabbi Akiva says, asur mi derabbanan to eat chicken and milk. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, mutar! A chicken, as long as you could have as long as you get chicken burgers or chicken hot dogs, you could put cheese on it, and it's perfectly fine. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, heter gomer, In fact, the Gemara reports that b'makomu shal Rabbi Eliezer hayu korsin eitzim lasos pacham and lasos barzel u'makomu shal Rabbi Yosigli liyoyachin basarach b'chalav. That in Rabbi Eliezer's location where he lived, they used to on Shabbos, if there was a mila that needed to be done on Shabbos, a bris needed to be done on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer has a unique shita. There's a whole parak in the Sech Shabbos named after Rabbi Eliezer's unique shita about bris mila. It's called Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. So Rabbi Eliezer has a unique shita about bris mila, that not only are you allowed to do an actual bris mila on Shabbos, you're allowed to do all the preparatory work in advance of the bris mila on Shabbos. Whatever you need to do to make the mila happen. So if you don't have a mila knife, you could chop down a tree so that you can have the firewood, light the fire so that you can sterilize the knife in order to then have a knife to do bris mila, and you could do all of that on Shabbos. The chopping and the lighting of the fire and the making of the knife, all of that can be done on Shabbos. Machshirei mila are done for Shabbos. Well, it's wild. We don't do that. We do a mila on Shabbos, but that's it. We don't do all this preparatory work on Shabbos as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you lived in Rabbi Eliezer's town, that's what they did. They actually did that. They followed that shita. And not only that, the Gemara reports, not over here, but elsewhere, that in Masechta Shabbos, that because of that, there was zocha that when the Malchus made a gezeira against mila, Rabbi Eliezer's town was spared because they were following the laws of mila perfectly. What, and we're not following the laws of mila perfectly? Meaning it's a chiddush. You might have thought, but they're wrong. We don't paskin like that. So yeah, their town did that way because they were following the Rebbe, but the Rebbe was wrong. Right, Rabbi Eliezer? We don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. No, they're allowed to follow the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. They're following the laws of mila. What does that have to do with us? Because the Gemara then says, ubim makomo shel Rabbi Yosi Aglili, hayu ochlin basar of b'chalav. That if you went to Rabbi Yosi Aglili's town, you know, different cities have different standards of the Vada Kashrus, you know, what Kashrus standards they have in that town. So in some places you can't find anything that's not Chal of Yisrael. In other places you have things that are not Chal of Yisrael. Some places they're Makbid on Yashar, other places. So if you went to Rabbi Yosi Aglili's town, you would find chicken and cheese cooked together, and they were selling it, and it was and everyone was eating it. From people with beard and payas were eating it, right? That was that's what they did in that town. Rav Maisha quotes this in the introduction to Gris Moshe. It's always good to read introductions to Sfarim. They have a lot of fascinating things in introductions to Sfarim. So Rav Moshe, in his introduction to the Gris Moshe, quotes this Gemara, how they would do these things in these towns. Rav Moshe writes that his point is to try to say that the Torah has been given over to us to determine what the halacha is, and that allows for a certain richness and diversity in Torah. And it's all within the Torah. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Meaning it's not that Hashem meant something, and we have to figure out which one thing Hashem meant. So someone's going to be right and everybody else is going to be wrong. No, Hashem gave us the Torah and said, let the Torah speak for itself. And however it speaks to you, as long as you're following the rules of how to darshan it properly, that's it. That's right. You could be right, even though you have different. That's what Rav Moshe writes. A beautiful biur of the little off topic now, but a beautiful biur. Rav Moshe says of the Gemara Menachos. You know the Gemara Menachos. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to accept the Torah, to receive the Torah, and Hashem is busy. He's putting the final touches on it. You know, sometimes you go to pick something up from the store. You know, they say, "Oh, it's ready. Come on over." And you get there, and it's not really ready. They're like, "Oh, I'm just finishing it up now." So Lahavdil, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to get the Torah. And Hashem's like putting the final touches. He's putting crowns on top of the letters. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ribono Shel Olam, mima akiv al yadcha? What's going on?" And Ribono Shel Olam says, "No, this is going to be very important because there's going to be a Jew who's going to live one day who's going to know how to darshan tilei tilim shel halachos based on these crowns on top of the letters. You know, the little zions that you see on top of the letters on the Shatnas Gatz letters. So shin ayin tes nun zion kimul tzad. You write on those letters. You have little zions on the top. So in those letters, there's going to be a Jew one day who's going to know how to darshan many many halachos from these crowns." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Really? I'd like to see that." So Hashem says, "Okay. So step into my time machine." And they sit into Rabbi Akiva. They go into Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the very back of Rabbi Akiva's classroom, because the way they used to arrange the classroom was that the strongest talmidim would sit in the front, and they would arrange them based on your level. So if you were in the back, it means you were a weak talmid. That's probably not the most, you know, certainly with kids, that's probably not the most effective way. I was just reading the Rabbi David Trank biography, that on the first day of learning groups in camp, he would come late. because all the kids would sit, and the Rebbe's chair would be like in the front, right? And all the kids would sit. Then he would take the chair and move it to the back, tell everyone turn around, and that's how he set up. Because the kids who were most likely to sit in the back were, you know, the troublemakers like Popilsky, right? So you know, those are the kids that you wanted to really focus on. So Moshe Rabbeinu is stuck in the back of Rabbi Kiva's classroom, and he doesn't understand anything that's going on. Rabbi Kiva is saying Shir, Moshe Rabbeinu has no clue. I actually had a Rebbe, my second grade Rebbe, used to sit us in order, not sit us, but he would actually rank us every single day in order of how smart you are. It was unbelievable. I'm not 100 years old, you know, like that was done like 30 years ago. It was crazy. But anyway, so he would sit them in Moshe Rabbeinu is in the back of the classroom. He has no idea what's going on, and he's feeling very dejected. And then here's one of the Talmidim raise their hand, and they ask Rabbi Akiva, how do you know that halacha? And Rabbi Akiva says, halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu feels better about himself. Okay, even Rabbi Akiva needs me. He needs halacha l'Moshe Misinai, and he's happy. And then the end of the Gemara is the more famous part of the Gemara, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you showed me someone who, it was unbelievable. Zutora, so Haresani Taraso, Hareni Scharo. Show me his schar. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu how Rabbi Akiva dies this awful, gruesome death. And he said, Zu Torah v'zu schara. How could that be that this is the schar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shto kachal makshav lefanai. But the point that Rav Moshe Feinstein, this Hakdamah to Gruz Moshe, focuses on is, what is this about crowns on top of the letters? Why would you call them crowns? And why do letters need crowns? And also, what does the question, mi ma'akev al yadcha mean? Who's stopping you? What kind of question is that? And how does Ribbono Shel Olam answer it? So Rav Moshe explains that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing by tying crowns on the letters was saying that the letters are king. A king is totally independent. A king doesn't depend on anybody else or anything else. The letters have to answer to nobody, even himself, even Hashem himself. Once he gives the Torah speaks for itself. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's no longer answerable to the Ribbono Shel Olam's psak. Once you have the letters speak for themselves. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, mi ma'akev al yadcha, why would you do this? Just tell us what you hold. And he says, oh, let me show you what can happen, the richness of Torah that can come out when you put it in human hands. And he shows in Rabbi Akiva. And that's where Moshe Feinstein writes in his introduction that's why he feels that even though he's not as great as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he's not as great as Chassam Sofer, and he's not as great as many Talmid Chacham that came before him, he's still allowed to write a Sefer. He's allowed to write a Shaila and Tshuva Sefer. He's allowed to have an opinion in Halacha. He's allowed to learn a Sugya, because that's what the Torah was meant to do. It was meant to be learned and interpreted by the Chacham in each and every generation, provided that you're one of the Chacham in each and every generation. And Moshe says it's possible that I'm not one of the Chacham in this generation, in which case don't read it. But you know, if you hold that I'm entitled to an opinion and that I know how to learn a little bit, so then I'm even though I don't have to be as great as the all-time greats in order to be entitled to an opinion. How did I get that? Oh, because this Gemara, right? This Gemara says, so in the place of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, they used to eat basar ov with challah. Yeah.
Does that machlokas about the basar affect what they hold to Rabbanan, or is that a separate machlokas?
So that's not in the pasuk. That's just the whether the chachamim, right? Yeah, seven machlokas. Whether the chacham mastered it. So Tosfos on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis in Dibra Maskel Ov, Tosfos seems to disagree. Tosfos writes, meaning Tosfos writes, Va'olam nagu shalalechol gvina achar basar. The minhag is we don't eat cheese after eating meat. Afilu achar Ov, even after eating chicken. So Tosa says, well, wait a second, the Gemara tells us that ofu gvina nechal and ba'afrikun, that they're eaten together. It sounds like you could eat of and then gvina. So how come we wait between eating of and gvina? He says, oh, no, that Gemara that says that you could eat them together is like the shita that holds basar of b'chalav is nata oraisa. But we who wait after eating basar to eat of, we're assuming like the shita that holds that basar of and chalav is daraisa. What's the problem with that, Tosos? There is no shita that says daraisa. We had two shitas. We had Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva. They both said it's drabana. They both said that it's not daraisa. They argue, is it even drabana? Is it even drabana? Nobody holds a Saraisa. So Tosfos said, oh, no, that's not like the Shita that holds a Saraisa. What Shita? So Tosfos apparently is assuming that the Chachamim at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanakama, is in disagreement with both Rabbi Yosef Glee and Rabbi Kiva. It's far from explicit, but that's what Tosfos seems to be assuming. That even though the Mishnah only quotes two opinions, and both agree that it's Milta Midaraisa, and Tosfos and Kuf Yud Gimel Amaral Tibra Maskul Basr says the same thing, that the Chachamim who say that Basr Behemah Torah, B'chalav Behemah Torah, is Asr, agree with Rabbi Akiva and hold that Chayav Va'of are both Asr Minat Torah.
It's the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva's arguing what the Chachamim said.
No, no, Chacham meaning the Rabbanan, other Tanaim. Rabbi Kiva is a Tana, another Tanaim, the Machlok is Tanaim. So, okay, so where does that leave us right now? So, right now we know Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi both hold that Basar Ov is Mutter Min HaTorah. They argue whether it's Aser Midrabbanan. Rabbi Kiva holds? Aser Midrabbanan. Right? Rabbi Yossi? Mutter Midrabbanan. Now, according to Tosfos, there's a Chachamim that say that it's even Asr Midaraisa. So it's a three-way machlokas.
Isn't the mashmalos in our mission, in the first mission according to the Gemara, that Oth is Asr Daraisa, and then the first answer the Gemara accepts that we just hold, that we hold like the Rabbanan by Basar Bachala?
The mashmalos of the first mission, meaning at the beginning of the parak?
Yeah.
Kala Basar Asr Basar Bachala, let's be Basar Dagim Bachagam, oh yeah, we'll get there in a second. Right, meaning, what does the Mishnah say? That all Basar is Asr, except for Dagim V'Chagavim. Hello, if Basar Of is not Asr Min HaTorah, right? If Basar Of is not Asr Min HaTorah, shouldn't you have mentioned that? You mentioned Dagim V'Chagavim as the exception?
And the first answer, the Gemara accepts that.
Ah, so says the Gemara, Ha'Of, Asr Midaraisa. The implication is that Of is Asr Midaraisa, Kukul Chalav. Says, well, come on, the Lok Rabbi Kiva. Do Rabbi Kiva ha'amar chayav ov ena min haTorah? Because Rabbi Kiva holds that it's not midaraisa. So yeah, so that's so the Gemara sounds more like Tosfos, right? Like Tosfos is assuming that there's an issur daraisa of asr b'chalav according to the Chachamim. So we have a three-way machlokas tonight. Yeah. Also Mefurish, that it's a machlokas. Good, so that's the machlokas. Now, what Tosfos is being mechayev is how we paskin, right? I mean, the fact that it's a machlokas ain't a chinami, right? It's a three-way machlokas tanaim, whether basar of, it's just that it's not explicit in Kuf Yud Gimel, but it is pretty clear that the Rishonim learned that way, right? And it's pretty clear in the sugya, right? That basar of is also min haTorah. But how do we paskin? Do you pass on the Chum or you pass on Rabbi Kiva? So Tosfos, when Tosfos raised the question, Tosfos said, why is it that we wait after eating Of before eating Chalav? The Gemara says you don't have to wait. So he says, if the Gemara that says you don't have to wait is going like Rabbi Kiva. But we wait, why? Because we pass on like a Chum. Tosfos, we pass it that way. Then it's also Midaraisa. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos on, what was it, Kuf Gimel, Kuf Dalaram Beis at the bottom. That we paskin that way. Now the Rambam holds it's the Rabbanan. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, right? Not like Rabbi Yossi, not like Chum. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. He may hold that it's not a machlokas tanaim at all. Whoa, how could that be? The Rosh in Simin Nun Aleph quotes that the Rif brings the Shitas HaChachamim and the Shitas Rabbi Akiva. If the Chachamim really held that it's Aser Min HaTorah, then the Rif shouldn't bring the Chachamim if he's also going to bring Rabbi Akiva. The thing is, as Yisrael pointed out before, that works with the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel, but it's not going to work well, or it's going to be a very difficult read in that very first sugya in the parak, to say that there doesn't even exist a Shita, that it's also Daraisa. Okay, so whether it exists or doesn't exist, I'll tell you why it's also mashma from the Rambam that it doesn't exist, that the Shita doesn't exist. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Mamrin. You got to look up this Rambam if you've never seen it before. The Rambam, the second parak of Hilchos Mamrin, parak based Halacha Tes, I think it is. The Rambam writes that Mipia Shmua Lamdu Shaza Kasavasu Lavashal Vlechal Basu B'Chala. And when the pasuk says Lo Svash Lubi Chalev Imo, it tells us not to cook, not to eat Basar B'chalav, Bein Basar Behema, Bein Basar Chaya. Aval Basar Of Mutar B'chalav Min HaTorah. You're allowed to have chicken with Chalav Min HaTorah. Says the Rambam. What's the Zungin Hilchos Mamrim? That should be Machalos Asuros, right? Says the Rambam. Hilchos Mamrim. Im Yavo Beizdin, if a Beizdin were to come along, the Yatir Basar Chaya B'chalav, and is going to be Matir Basar Chaya with Chalav, Hareza Goreya. Then they are being goreya from what it says in the Torah. The im yeser basar of the yomer shu bichlal hagedi vu asur min haTorah. And if a bezin were to come along and tell you that basar of is asur min haTorah, it's a violation of Bal Tosif. Harezim Mosif. Bal Tosif is not only when you add within the context of a mitzvah; it's adding a mitzvah. When you add to the definition of a mitzvah. And you say that Basar B'chalav does not only include Basar Behemah, it includes Basar Of as well, that's a violation of Bal Tosif. Im Amar, but if someone tells you, Basar Of Mutar Min HaTorah, V'Anun Esar also, but if someone were to say, no, Basar Of is really Mutar Min HaTorah, we just Asar it Midrabanan. V'Nodi Alam, Shu Gezeira, Shalei Av Min HaDavar Chova, and you let everyone know that it's a Gezeira, V'Yomar Of Mutar Min HaShal Esparish, Kach HaChayim Mutar, okay, etc., etc. He explains why they would make dinim drabanan, that they're afraid that people are going to ultimately violate. Then ein ze mosif ala osa siyag l'torah v'chein kol keyotzi b'zeh. Then it's not Bal Tosif. Wow, what did the Rambam just tell us? Who violated Bal Tosif? Tosos violated Bal Tosif, according to the Rambam. If you take, you tell us that Basar Of is asur min haTorah, it's a violation of Bal Tosif. Well, Tosos passes, Basar Of is asur min haTorah. Question is whether the Rambam even believed that there exists a shita that in Tanaim, that Basar Of is asur min haTorah, but certainly Lahalachi thinks that shita is categorically rejected, so much so, you know, all the Rambam had to do in Altamam, he's just trying to give an example of how you could violate Bal Tosif by telling someone that an Issa D'Rabbanan is really an Issa D'Araisa, that a Beis Din passing that an Issa D'Rabbanan is really an Issa D'Araisa is a violation of Bal Tosif. That's all he needed to do. He had his pick of any Issa D'Rabbanan in the entirety of Torah, in the entire canon of Dinim Drabanan of all of Shas, and the one that he picked is this, right? He Dafka picked this one, so he obviously held this pretty strong. That like there's nothing to talk about. That it's definitely only in Issa Drabanan. Okay, so we don't need chicken and cheese either. To make a long story short, right? We don't need chicken and cheese either. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel Paskins like Rabbi Akiva. Because the Rambam passes that way, and the Rush passes that way, and the Rif passes that way, so the Shulchan Aruch, of course, is going to pass that way. So we clearly hold Basar Of as Asur Min Drabanan, and we also hold, by the way, we'll get there, that you still have to wait between eating Basar Of and eating cheese, even though Tosa said if you hold this Drabanan, you don't have to wait, but we hold you have to wait anyway. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Gimel, Basar Chaya Va'of, Hafil B'chalav Torah, Mutar B'bishl Ba'na, V'af Ba'achila, Eino Asur Min Drabanan. It's only Asur Min Drabanan. The Rambam is Mechadesh, and this isn't explicit in the Gemara anywhere, but the Shulchan Aruch passes this way. The Rambam is Mechadesh. V'chein basar chaya va'of, bein b'chalav chaya, bein b'chalav behema, eino asur ba'achila min haTorah, lefichach, here's the Chiddush, mutar levashlo u'mutar ba'anaya. He says, what's the difference between whether something is Asur Daraisa or Asur Drabanan? Do I care whether it's Basar B'chalav Min Daraisa or Basar B'chalav Min Drabanan? We follow Din Drabanan also. Huge difference. What did we start this year with today? We started by saying that there are three Isurim of Basar B'chalav. There's an Isur Bishul, an Isur Ana, and an Isur Achila. Says the Rambam, whenever it's an Isur Drabanan of Basar B'chalav, it's only Achila. There's no Isur of cooking Basar B'chalav Min Drabanan. So now it becomes huge. And there's no Isur of getting Hana'ah from Basar B'chalav Min Drabanan. So now this is huge, because if you are ever in a situation where you might be called upon to cook Basar B'chalav, it would be helpful to know what's Drabanan's Daraisa. This happens to every single person, every single Jew who ever went to culinary school. If you go to culinary school, they make you cook certain dishes. So are you allowed to cook Basar B'chalav? Okay, you're not going to taste it. Sometimes they also have the issue, they serve it to like the teachers. The teachers very often are Jewish, so you also have like a lifnei iver problem. It's a fascinating issue. Or you want to buy a stock in a company that's McDonald's or something. So there's McDonald's Basar B'chalav Min Daraisa. So it's huge, because Rambam says that if it's not Basar B'chalav Min Daraisa, it's Mutar Ba'ana. Yeah.
How can this pshat in the Berkeley? You're allowed to be splitting up the Israel.
Yeah, right? Good point. Meaning the Rambam went out of his way to say, Hana and Achila are totally connected. Must be on the Daraisa level. But Midrabanan, they were just, however the Rabbanan decided to make a Gedder, decided to make a Siag, they were able to have that wiggle room.
Why did they only make that Siag by Bishop? They weren't concerned that if you start that Hana from both sides, you know that you're going to then have Hana from
the Nilk? I guess not. I don't know. It's hard to know, like, all the cheshbonos of dinim drabanan. But anyway, so this is the chiddush of the Rambam. There's no isra na'a, nor an isra bishul and basa b'chol midrabanan. And we pass in this way, even though it sounds like it's also against the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. What did the Mishnah say? Kol ha-basar asul v'ashul b'chalav chutz mi basar dagim v'chagav. Everything's asul to be m'vashal together with, chalav. Except for dagim v'chagavim. So what should be asur to be mvashal l'chalav? Oaf should be asur to be mvashal l'chalav. It's kimat mefurash in the Mishnah. What do you have to say? So the Magen Mishnah says what the Rambam must learn. That Mishnah is when it says kol habasar asur levashal. Levashal really means lechel. And why would the Mishnah use the word levashal if it means lechel? No, you tell me. Why would the Mishnah use it? Because the Torah did. The Torah did. The Torah said, "Losavashal be a chalev imam." So, since the Torah used the word levashal, so it's levashal. Oftentimes, in Hilchos Basar B'chalav, is code word for eating. Okay. What do you mean? I mean, when the Gemara answered up that that mehem that are asur drabban, mehem that are asur darais. No, because it says that it's asur. The Rambam saying it's heter gomer. That when you have basar b'chalav midrabanan, it's totally mutter to cook it together. It's only us to eat it together, right? That's what the part that seems to be against the Rambam. Good, so far so good. So what do we do so far? So we said that there are three. There are three surim in the Torah: Nisra Achila, Nisra Na, Nisra Bishul. We went through the Rambam describing how there are only two mitzvahs. They only count as two mitzvahs because Hana and Achila are very much connected to each other. We described why Hana and Achila are very connected to each other, because we find that whenever the Torah wants to ask for something by Hana, it even just uses the word Achila, and we automatically know that Hana is concerned, that Hana is included. And then we discussed why the Torah would need three psukim then. If Hana and Achila are always together, the Rambam explained that over here, even Achila, even Shalok Kederech Hana is is going to be asur rather. And then we started discussing basar oaf, and we pointed out that it seems like a three-way machlokas tanayim whether basar oaf is asur or mutter. So chachamim that it's asur midaraisa, even though that's not 100% explicit, that's certainly the way the Balei HaTosfos understand, and the simple reading of the beginning of the first gemara in the parak, that the chachamim hold that it's asur midaraisa, Rabbi Akiva that it's asur midirabanan, and Rabbi Yossi that it's heter gomer, that basar oaf is heter gomer. How do we paskin? Tosfos paskins like the Chachamim. The Rambam says, not only do we not paskin like the Chachamim, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but if you paskin like the Chachamim, you're in violation of Baal Tosef. So Tosfos, you just violated Baal Tosef by telling everyone that Basar Oaf is Nisa Midaraisa. And then we learned the Chiddush of the Rambam, that it's important to know when something's only Basar B'chol Midrabanan, because then there's not going to be an Isra Bishul, nor an Isra Hana'a, even though that sounds a little bit against our Mishnah, but that's what the Rambam assumes, that's what we paskin.
I forgot who said it, but when whoever said that levashal means lechem.
Yeah, the magnificent.
Why can't the Rambam? Why, if you're using that logic, then when the Rambam says that the Chachamim said lechem by Basar Oaf, and that also was to include, just like the lashon of the Torah, it's also to disqualify Hana and Bishul. We were using that logic that the Chachamim are already using the lashon of the Torah, so use it by.
What do you mean? I'm not sure. What, you want the Rambam to say something different? You want the Gemara to say something different?
Yeah, the Rambam. The Rambam's using the Rabbanan's wording. Why can't we use the Rambam's wording?
No, the Rambam's not. The Mishnah is. Meaning the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that Kala Basar is Mutzulach, is Asher Levashel with Chalav, except for fish or whatever, right? So the Mishnah is when it says that you're not allowed to be mevashal all types of basar, it really means you're not allowed to eat all types of basar.
So wherever the Rambam gets his quote, where he says that the Derabbanan say that that you can't eat basar.
We don't know where he gets it, right? It's not in the Gemara. It's not clear where he gets it, but yeah.
Question back in the Gemara: how do we serve Yosef Aguri says there's no siyad in the Rabbanan?
How do we see that Rabbi Yosef Aguri said the Gemara says it? No.
Right. So how does the Gemara see that?
How did the Gemara know it?
He says,
I guess because we're trying to, because the Gemara asked, what's the nafkamina between them, right? Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara had two answers.
Why do you need to say, there's no reason to say that?
Oh, so that's an interesting question. Is there a problem with the first answer? That's an interesting question. If you look around, the Rishonim deal with that. Meaning, do the two answers agree with each other? Can they both be true? Is there some sort of problem with the first answer? That's a good question. Okay, I did want to get to another topic or two within the definition of basa. Behemoth Temeah. The Mishnah in Kufi Gimel Amar Aleph tells us that basa behema Torah bechalav behema tameya, and behema tameya bechalav behema, or basa behema tameya bechalav behema tahora, are mutl vashal and mutr bana. Meaning, if either the milk or the meat is from a non-kosher source, then it's mutr in bishal and mutr in hana'a. Only meat from a kosher animal, milk from a kosher animal, are asr in basa bechalav. Even if the animal wasn't slaughtered correctly, it's a nevela, it's still forbidden to cook with milk. But if it's behema tameya, non-kosher, like a pig, then it's not going to be a sabas b'chalav. Milk or meat from a non-kosher animal, a horse, a donkey, a pig, or the milk is from a non-kosher animal, camel milk or something like that, you're allowed to cook it and get hana'a from it. Shulchan Aruch passes like this straight up. It's a Gemara. There's nothing to really discuss. However, the Gemara darshins that basar behema tameya is not basar b'chalav. Why? Because it's not like a di. So the Bach raises the following question. You know, what else did we say is not like a di? Behema tameya is not like a di. What else did we just get through saying is not like a di and therefore not included in the yisr? Oath, right? According to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef, well, Rabbi Kiva for sure. Oath is not like a di. And mele, it's not included in the yisr. So says the Bach, well, let's make the following cheshbon. If basar ov with chalav, we just got through saying we paskin is what? Not mutter. Asim midrabanan. It's basar v'chalav midrabanan. So shouldn't we say behema tameya with chalav is asim midrabanan? Yishun basar v'chalav. Meaning, they're both based on the same thing. They're both on the, based on the fact that they're not similar to gedi. It says, Los Vashel Gedi Bechalev Imo, Gedi not Ov, Gedi not Behema Temeya, Gedi not Pig. So if there's an Issa Drabana Basa Bechalev to have chicken and milk, there should be an Issa Drabana Basa Bechalev to have pig and milk. It's a klutz kasha l'chora, right? Why? What's the problem with the kasha?
It's already
asr. Meaning, whenever we say something's only asr midrabanan, we just got to say, according to the Rambam especially, if something's only asr, and we pass it this way, if something's only asr midrabanan, it means that it's only asr, which of the three surim? Achila, right? So what, you're going to be eating pig and milk, and we're going to say, how could you violate an isr midrabanan of basar b'chalav? If the guy's eating pig and milk, he's eating pig, right? He's violating isr d'oraisa. Of pigs, so it's a funny kasha, but the Bach says this. The Bach is bothered by this. He raises a question that we exclude oaf from gedi, so we still say that there's nisr midrabanan basar oaf. So maybe we should similarly say that non kosher meat with milk should be asr midrabanan. Yeah, a little funny. Person eats chazer and cheese. You tell him he's violating basar b'chol midrabanan. Why would the rabbanan need to make such a nisr? You know, it's a little strange. Most achronim therefore rejected. The Shach in Sifkat and Gimel disagrees with the Bach and says there's no issur d'rabbanan of basar b'chalav on basar behema tameya. Again, the whole thing is funny. Like, Rabbi Sablovsky had a nafkamina l'maisa. Sablovsky is great. He had a nafkamina l'maisa. He said he was asked the following shaila. You know, Rabbi Sablovsky is the posek for NCSY, right? So he gets a lot of fun shailas that way. So there was some sort of NCSY program where they were bringing in donuts to public schools. To give the public school kids, then it was at the end of their lunch hour, whatever extracurriculars, the club hour, which was they had like a Jewish club, was right after lunch. So all the kids from home bring whatever or buy whatever nevelas and trefus and behemot tameya and whatever, and, you know, for lunch, they're all going to be fleishig. So they wanted to know, can they bring Dunkin' Donuts? Dunkin' Donuts are milchig, right after lunch. So they allowed to bring the kids Dunkin' Donuts, because a lot of them may have eaten meat. So Rasovsky said, ooh, it could be, it depends, whether they ate chazer or not. Why? If they ate chazer, it's mutter. Because there's no isur basar b'chalav, according to the Shach, against the Bach. There's no isur basar b'chalav and chazer. They didn't make it, not even the Rabbanan. It's not even the Rabbanan. They shouldn't have eaten chazer. You weren't there when they were eating lunch. You couldn't stop them. They ate the chazer already. But eating the milk is afterwards. But if they ate from a behema tahora, they ate cow meat for lunch, right? Then it would be lifnei iver. So it would turn out chotei niskar. The guy who ate chazer for lunch gets to eat his donut. The guy who didn't eat chazer for lunch doesn't get to eat his donut. Wow, nice nafkamina.
Yeah. How is the question about the question? You're asking from a comparison about Didi, what is not considered.
It's not really a question. I mean, he's saying it la'alacha. The Bach holds that there's an Isser Drabbanon of Basar B'Chalav on Basar Behema Tomato B'Chalav.
How can you say that? I mean, the entire comparison between Basar Behema Tomato and everything we said before is the Didi, that it's not considered Min HaTorah in Didi. It happens to be by oath that the Chachamim then said it's a siyav and then it's a rabbanon.
Right.
Why would you say that? That's
it's so strange, right? It's a very strong kasha. Why would the Chacham make such a din? The Chacham make a din when they need to make a din. They're not allowed to just make, you know, whatever dinim they want. Very strange.
It might seem to say, and this is a little backwards, that de'oraisa, the milk, the matir, the pig.
No, it's not matir the pig.
But according to that,
it's just not basar b'chalav. It's just not basar b'chalav. It's still pig, right? It's just not basar b'chalav. Meaning, you could eat your donut. Rabbi Savlovsky said he suggested that they should get parva donuts. They're like, well, we should like go to Williamsburg and get some Hasidic donuts. Like, there's no way that'll be the last time anyone shows up to the club. Like, can't do that. Got a question? No? Okay. One more topic as far as the definition of basar. That's basar nevel. I'm sorry.
Why can we say
dasar
both? Why would dasar nevel say emadar apar? There's a reason. Avoid that nachmina.
You could, but that's the machlokas over here between the Bach and the Shach. The Bach holds that there's nisur drabbanan over here.
What's the Shach's problem with saying dasar nevel as well?
Because it makes no sense for the rabbanan to ever ask for such a thing. Why would you ask for me drabbanan when someone eats pig and milk? He's obviously not that concerned.
Not concerned, but it's still also though.
It's also midaraisa. The Rabbanan made an issue to the Rabbanan when they need to. Right? You know, it's like similar, the Gemara has an expression, Milslo Shrikha Lagazu Be Rabbanan. What does that mean, Milslo Shrikha Lagazu Be Rabbanan? So Shachter points out often, it doesn't just mean that they chose not to make Zeros. They weren't allowed to. It's Baltosif. We just read the Rambam. It's Baltosif to add on to the Torah. Elamai, they have a special heter to make a gzera when there's a good reason for it. When they're really going to protect you from something. What are they protecting over here? Right? There's nothing to protect from. Yeah?
If the Rabbanan feel that a certain thing, that it's the right thing to make a certain thing and it's a Rabbanan, will they not do it if they think people won't follow it?
That also, the Gemara says, that's something that Ein Rav Tzibri Chol Lamed Bo. Right, that is also
not. But in this specific case, it's the targeted people won't follow it because they're eating chazer, right?
No, you wouldn't target these people. It doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't do it because they're not going to follow it?
Why would you target? What do you mean? And the frum people don't need it either. Nobody needs it.
Right, but it's not.
Nobody
like
needs it.
We're just trying to shield people from others.
I don't know, it's strange. The whole thing's strange. I don't know. Okay, basar nevel. Let's get to basar nevel. Is there an issur basar b'chalav and basar nevel? What's nevel? Nevel, it's a cow. It's just that you hit it with your car or you shot it in the head instead of shafting it. Right? You want to eat giraffe meat. So it's much easier to shoot it than to shecht it, like we discussed before. So this is part of the discussion of ein issur chalal issur. Meaning, if something is nevel already, so it's asur. So can it now become asur mishum basar b'chalav also, on top of being asur mishum nevela? So the Gemara says that it depends which isur basar b'chalav you're speaking about. If you're talking about the isur achila, right? The isur achila basar b'chalav, well, nevela already has an isur achila. So if you hold the isur chalal isur, You can't have an Isra Achila of Basar B'Challa of Bichala Nevela, which is already Yasar B'Achila. But what does Nevela not have? There's no Isser? Hana. Ooh. So you could have an Isser Basar B'Challa, an Isra Hana'a of Basar B'Challa Bichal on that which is already Nevela. Right? If it's an Isser Bishal, there's no Isser Bishal B'Basar Nevela. So there's not an issue of Isser Chal Isser, and there should be an Isser Bishal Midal Raisa of Lechora. I shouldn't say the Hana part. Let's take Bishal and Achila, right? Nevela is Asa B'Achila and Mutter B'Bishal. Yeah, we all agree with that? Nevela is Asa B'Achila, you're not allowed to eat Nevela, you're allowed to cook Nevela. Basar B'Challa, you're not allowed to eat, nor allowed to cook, right? If you hold Ein Isser Chal Isser, that when an Isser already exists, another Isser cannot be Chal, another equivalent Isser cannot be Chal, so an Isser Achila of Basar B'Challa can't be Chal on Nevela, because it's already Asa B'Achila. But an Isser Bishal of Basar B'Challa can be Chal on Nevela. Why? Because Nevela was not already Yasser B'Achila. So an Isser Bishal. So an Isser Bishal of Basar B'Challa could be Chal on Nevela. What about the Isser Hana'a? What about the Isser Hana'a? Nevela's Mutter B'Hana'a. Can Nevela become Asr B'Hana'a Mishum Basar B'Challa? If you cook Nevela with milk, does it now become Asr B'Hana'a because of Basar B'Challa? Gemara doesn't discuss it. Very relevant Lamaisa. What? Why is it so relevant Lamaisa? Well, who's having Nevela? Who's getting Hana'a from Nevela and Chalav together? Dogs. Anyone own a dog? Any dog owners? Wow. So proud of you. Okay, I hate dogs. And dogs are, the reason I hate dogs, not because, you know, I hate man's best friend or whatever. Dogs are a halachic nightmare. To get one, you have to violate an issa d'oraisa of castrating it, of what they call it something nicer, neutering it, right? So that's aleph. And then feeding it is, involved. Hanoah from Basar B'Challa half the time, and then plus there's so much money, and people decide, oh, what do we need to have another kid for? We have a dog, so he ends up being a battle pro revu. They're like, oh, anyway, I actually had someone came to me asking about buying a dog, and I told them, don't buy, just have another kid. And I said, if you really want all the trouble, just you might as well put it into a child. So they're like, first they were laughing, then they're like, it's not a bad idea. and they had another kid. So every time I see that kid, I'm like, that's my dog. And they told me months later, they said our children love the baby so much more than they probably would have loved the dog. It was such a good decision. I don't know if that's why it was a good decision, but but he's not just there as a plaything for the other children. But So what about the Isser, how did I get that? Oh yeah, dog food, right? So dog food very often is Basar B'Challa, but it's Basar Nevela with Chalav. It's Basar Nevela, it is cow meat, but it's not Shechted. Basar Nevela with Chalav, can you feed it to your dog? That's an Isser Hana'a. So is there an Isser Hana'a on Basar Nevela with Chalav? So this gets us into, we're not going to do it right now because it's a big deal, it's a big discussion. There's a famous comment of the Rambam third part of Krisos, where the Rambam has what's commonly known, famously known as the Nekuda Hanifla'a. This is all going to have to wait for tomorrow. We're going to have to, tomorrow's Shir is going to be, tomorrow's Friday, right? So Shir is a little earlier on Friday. Shir comes before Seder on Friday, and then you can Chazer. So I'll be able to say as much Torah as I want, then you'll have Seder time to Chazer. Okay? All right. Have an easy fast, everyone, and a great day.